farther than someone got.
Farther than he got in the source when you were preparing. Yeah, no, for sure. Most of them are not going to spend the time reading the entire Gemara, or even if we do, I'm not running through it. All right, so today we're going to do the Sugya of Ein Shliach Dvar Aveira. Obviously, whether you just heard this news about the soldier, or you had heard earlier today, it's really quite difficult to see. Apparently, the father of the soldier, I don't know exactly what this means, works at Midrash at Lindenbaum. I'm not sure exactly what his capacity is, but according to the reports, he's the director. I'm not sure exactly what that means. But in any case, be that as it may, by the way, if you want to see, they were live streaming the funeral. It was taking place about an hour and a half ago. You can take a look. But certainly, let's have the name Elchai Terlev, who is 20 years old, in mind, and thinking of his family. And just sitting there, I don't know if you could take a look. It's a little painful to watch, but if you see the funeral, you'll see his father attempting to speak. That's really the best way to describe it. He literally couldn't get through half his sentences, and it's really just devastating to watch. But I do think it's important to watch. You know, we live relatively comfortable lives here in America. I know that we've had a spate of anti-Semitism recently. But when we have students who are visiting this morning and who are visiting today, who are either are in Sahel or planning to or thinking seriously about enrolling in Hesder, Jordan is actually thinking about it. So George talking about his options just today. But when you think about that, we realize that the world is a smaller place than sometimes we think, and that as important as where we're going to yeshiva and where we're going to college and these big life decisions that we have to make, and you know, like relationship issues and all these kinds of things, and our life has complexity to it, but it doesn't have existential complexity to it in that way. And that ultimately the decisions that we're grappling with are nothing. They pale in comparison to the larger challenges and opportunities that Klal Yisrael faces in Medina Israel and Eretz Israel. And for all the difficult decisions that we're making, we've got peers who are making much more difficult decisions about in which unit they're going to put their lives on the line for the Jewish people in the coming years. So we find ourselves humbled, and I think it's a really it's terrible to need to reflect, but I think it is important to reflect. I don't think that it's we can allow these kinds of events to pass us without learning a little bit about who gave his or her life, without reading a little bit, without reflecting and learning who are the people who are giving up their lives for us to have security and safety across the globe. So I want to encourage you guys, after school, go take a look at either the live stream, read a couple of articles, inform yourselves, remember the name, don't forget the names. Those who give their lives, obviously can't remember every single one, but this is someone, one of our teachers, it was one of their students, there's a real connection for us. So take that responsibility, take it seriously, and think a little bit, and be inspired a little bit to appreciate what it means to have Nesiut Nefesh, and think about what that could mean in our own lives, even if it doesn't literally mean putting our own lives out there on the line. All right, today we're going to learn Lizachra, we're going to learn the sugya of Ein Shliach Dvar Aveira, especially because it's Erev Pesach, and there will be something on Yom Pesach tomorrow. We're going to suffice with sort of a more brief learning of the sugya than we might otherwise engage in, but I think still we're going to get an opportunity to really tackle the core basic issues. So just to remind ourselves where we're coming from, so the Gemara had already on the Mem Beis and Aleph been talking about the Sugya of Yisomim, and the discussion of Yisomim takes us to the topic of Achin Shechalku, and the Gemara talks about Ona'a, and in the context of that longer discussion of Ona'a, which you guys learned but we're not going to go through right now inside, the Gemara finally turns to the topic of Ein Shliach Dvar Aveira. So we're going to start in the middle of the Daf Mem Bet Amud Bet in Kiddushin, where the Gemara says V'haditznan, and I'm going to read so that we can move the pace along. V'haditznan, Hashalech is a bi'ira biyad chirushot v'katan Potter medina de mechayev dinei shemayim. So we know that the Mishnah teaches us that if someone sends a be'era, a fire, in the hand of the chirish shot of a katan, in other words, an individual who is halachically incompetent, is lacking in das, so thus that individual is pater, in other words, the mishaleach is pater b'di adam v'chayav b'di neshamayim. However, shileach b'yad pikeach, pikeach chayav. So that the pikeach himself is going to be chayav. So if I send the fire in the hands of a sentient person, so right, Shai, I send you to with the fire, and you cause that damage, so the halacha is who's chayav, me or you. Alright, so the halacha is that you're chayav, and the question is, v'yamai, nima shlucho shalom kamosa? We just learned the entire principle of shlichus. So why here do we say that the shaliach is going to be chayav? Why don't we make the mishaleach liable? So my answer is, shani hasam, the in shaliach ledvar avero, the amrinu, because we say, divrei harav, divrei talmid, divrei mi shomen. So the Gemara offers the svara, that if we are to weigh the words of the master, i.e. God, versus the words of the talmid, i.e. human being, in other words, the mishaleach, whom should the shaliach obey? Right? So the answer is, of course, God. Therefore, the shlichus is going to be inoperable. That's as far as divrei rav, divrei talmid, divrei mishomen. And we're going to have to see, ask ourselves, what exactly is the significance of the svara? Does this really mean to say that a halacha d'oraisa, this halacha d'oraisa, is learned mi svara? And if that's the case, what exactly are the ramifications of that understanding on the larger or underlying conceptual underpinnings of in shaliach dvar avera writ large? Then the Gemara says, well, actually, we have to introduce some psukim. Why does the Gemara introduce some psukim? Because it asks a series of questions. So the Gemara says that we know that there's a brisa that teaches us that with regard to Mi'ilah, there is an institution of shlichus. I can send someone else to violate Mi'ilah, to engage in essentially theft from the Beis HaMikdash, from Hekdesh. So if that's the case, asks the Gemara, well, why do we say that? So the Gemara says that he also shlichus, so the Baal HaBayis, Baal HaBayis mi'amal. And it was the chiddush of the Brayis is that what? Right? Is that what? Is that if the shaliach veers from the designation, from the intentions of the mishaleach, then and only then, says the Gemara, the shlichus is not going to be chal. But if he actually does carry out the desires of the mishaleach, the halacha is that the shlichus is effective. Asks the Gemara, why do we say that? Am I? Don't we hold that in shaliach the varaveir? Ki asal shlichus the baal bayis miha ma'al, that it goes back to the mishaleach, to the owner. Am I? Why do we say that? Nima in shaliach the varaveir. And the Gemara answers, as you saw, shiny mihila, mihila is different. There's exeris akasa. Yaf, chit mi truma, zigzeris shava from truma, ma truma, mashve shaliach, af mihila, mashvi shaliach. So really, this is a general principle that in shaliach the varaveir, but mihila is an exception, that despite it having been, despite it constituting an avera, nonetheless, the halacha is that what?
In general,
that here, but only here, the shlichus is effective, but in general, in shlichus and varavera. So ask the Gemara, okay, but there's a general principle that we can learn from one example in halacha to call it tarkuah, v'nelach mina. Why don't we learn from Mi'ilah to call it Tarakula, then you're Shlechet Bar Veira? Answers the Gemara, that's because of Shlichas Yad. Mishum Davi Mi'ilah, Shlichas Yad, Shni Ksum Habam Ke'echa, V'choshum Ksay Ksumim Habam Ke'echa, in Milamdin. So that's the general principle we do not derive from that case. What is the case of Shlichas Yad? Shlichas Yad is if Shmuel lends me an object, I have the Pikadon, and I somehow damage that on Shaleach Yad. I'm going to be liable under certain circumstances. The Gemara says, that's the case of Shlichos Yad, that's the other exception. So the Gemara says, well, what exactly are we talking about? Mi'ilah hadam, run to Mi'ilah, I know what that case is, because we've already taught that halacha. Shlichos Yad, mahi, in other words, what is the case, or more to the point, what is the source for the halacha that there is shlichus with regard to the category of shlichus? Yad desanya, it's based on the braisa called var pesha, the pasuk in parashas mishpatim. I think it's perek chaf beis pasuk yud or so. I'll call it var pesha for any matter of, how would you translate pesha?
Negligence.
Excellent. Okay, negligence. Any matter of negligence. In other words, who's negligent?
The
Shomer is poshe, huh? So the halacha is as follows: machlokas in bishamay in bishol. Bishamay yom lechayv l'achshav k'maisa. That the addition, the riboy of al kol dvar pasha comes to teach us that what? That even, not only through masa, but even through machshava, that is sufficient, right? Or Rashi says, oh, al-hadibur, that the mere intention to be sholeach yad in the pikadon makes me liable for it. Why? Presumably it's a form of theft or something like that. In other words, I don't have to necessarily physically take it, it's already in my property. See, this is the thing. Normally when I engage in an act of gezel, what do I do? Or gneva, what has to happen? Mayor, you have your Gemara, and what do? Right? I snatch it from you. Okay? I'm konet, and then you get taken down to Gneva Gzela, and all those topics. But what happens, right? What happens if what?
If what?
It's already in your rishos. What happens if the object with regard to which there's a possibility of engaging in Gneva is already in your property? Okay? It's already in your property. So where's the Maisa Gneva? What are you going to do in order to steal the object? It's a good question, right? It's an interesting quandary.
Okay.
Can you ironically say that, what does it mean to engage in Zela for a Pikadon? For a Chefza Shel Shmira? It's a problem. So what's the halacha? So maybe the Chiddush is the mere decision, the mere intention to violate the terms of my shmirah in of itself is sufficient to constitute an act of theft or something like that. And that would explain why Beis Shammai says what he says and what the direction is.
Once you do a shliach, it's like you have the intention.
The question is, what makes me in violation of the terms of my shmirah? Is it merely when I physically take it and start using the object in a way that violates the terms of our agreement? Or already, as soon as I decide or say that I have decided to violate those terms, that in of itself is a violation. Because my whole job is to be the trusted guardian of this object. Now I've decided, instead of being the guardian of your pen, I'm going to use your pen. Right? Instead of guarding your chametz, I'm going to eat your chametz.
How does that relate to shlichus to the violator?
Oh, so we're going
to
get there in a second. So hold on. This is a general debate. Right now we're not there yet. But it's the whole theme of this Gemara is that the psukim, right? That's what Shmuel was talking on Seder yesterday. It's all about the limudim. Are there extra psukim that are available in order to darshan X, Y, or Z? That's where we're going. So b'shamay omrim l'chayv l'mashav g'maysa. That the intention, or as again as Rashi says, perhaps the dibor with regard to the pikadam is in of itself enough to violate the terms of my shmirah to make me chayev. We still have inu chayev at she shaleach bo yad. You're only chayev when you actually extend the hand against this object. Shemarim lo shalach yado bimlachesrei. It says explicitly you have to actually do something. Says Beisela. By the way, as an aside, there's a major chakira with regard to the nature of the isser of shlichus yad. Probably a fundamental machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid about a related subject. The fundamental chakira being whether this is a form of gneva, as I said, or it's a separate halacha that is intrinsic to shmira. Meaning the way that I formulated it earlier, basically, this is an act of theft. It's a separate halacha of gneva. Alternatively, you might understand that no, it's not so much a separate halakha of Geneva, but rather what's really happening in Shlichus Yad is that it is a violation of the terms of Mashmira. It's not a new category, it's an undermining of the previous one. We've seen that structure, right? That's a consistent model of Chakira.
That's addressed above the Messiah.
That comes in above the Messiah in third parak and elsewhere. Yeah, that's where the primary sukkah is. Okay, good. So that's the machlokes in Bisil Beishamai. Amru Beishamai Bisil Valo Nemar Kol Dvar Pasha. So what do you do? The Rebar Melham Beishilal Beishamai Valo Nemar Imlo Shalach Yadam Lechzerehu. Each one throws his sukkah at the other. So there's a reboy on the one hand that sounds like it's like Beishamai that Lechayv Al Machshava Kamaisa. And then you have the Imlo Shalach Yadam Lechzerehu Davka. Beishilal says you have to actually physically damage or do something different with this object. So what does each one do with each pasuk? So in Bishalav Yisraelim Kena called Var Pasha Lamali Shiyachol in Li Elahu Amar La Avdo Vilishlucho Minayin. How do we know that if I tell my I'm the shomer and I tell my servant or my eved to go, excuse me, or my shaliach, my eved or my shaliach to go ahead and to act inappropriately with this object, minayin, and how do I know I'm chayav there as well? Tamal amar al kol dvar pasha. So what does that teach us? That's the gzeiras hakasav of what? of shlichus by shlichus yad. It's confusing. That's what I was asking, but that's the point. But that's only true according to whom? According to Beis Hillel. Right? Hanicha leBeis Hillel, leBeis Shammai. In other words, remember, we needed shnik sum bam kecha. That's what we're going for. According to Beis Hillel, you have two ksuvin that teach a shlichus by divrei avera, one by me'ila and the other one by shlichus yad. So therefore, shnik sum bam kecha re melamdin, we cannot learn to kol ha-Torah kula. However, the Gemara says, Hanicha leVeisil, according to Veisil, I have two psukim. Oveshamay demuk mile laikrob machshava kamaisa. So then we should say differently. So then, Nilif, we should learn out mine, that what? We should learn out what's from mine? From Me'ila, because you only have one pasuk that remains. So the Gemara says, Mishum, the have a Me'ila tzvicha umechira, shneksavan kecha, cheshneksavan kecha, imlam. So the Gemara asks again, Me'ila hadam and tzvicha mechira maihi. What's the case of tzvicha mechira? What's the halacha of tzvicha mechira? What's the basic halacha?
That if you steal.
It's raining cats and dogs, yeah.
You steal an animal and then.
Despite the bad weather.
You steal an animal and then you go on to sell it or.
Good.
You need to pay.
How much? Shmuel. Dalit vehei. What do you need to pay when?
Four in the case of a sheep. And five in the case of
ox. And there's a Rashi, because you've already been embarrassed by having to carry it through the marketplace. Yeah. So you've already paid some of your knas, as it were, so it's not gone before. But, okay, fine. Excellent. So, the halacha tficha mechira. So, how do we know that if I send someone else, if I steal, right, and then I send my messenger to engage tficha mechira, that I can still be chayiv myself, that the shlichos for tficha mechira to be mechayiv me, the dvar vera to be mechayiv me dalad behay. So, ha da amran tficha mechira, excuse me, mi'ilo ha da amran tficha mechira mahi amar kro utzevacho o mecharo. Also in Mishpatim. Utzevacho o mecharo. He slaughtered it or sold it. So the answer for Beis Shammai is that yes, there are two ksuvim, but it's not Mi'ila for Beis Hillel. The two psukim are what? Mi'ila and Shlichos Yad. According to Beis Shammai, the two psukim are Mi'ila and Tvicha u Mechira. There, Bishmal Tana, O Laravos Hashliach. They have a different limit. Bechizki Tana, Tachas Laravos Hashliach. Fine. So according to Beis Shammai, Kidi Islay. According to Beis Shammai, according to Beis Hillel, Kidi Islay. Beis Shammai, Kidi Islay. We have Shnei, right? Kidi Islay. Clear? Each one according to his respective. Yeah. Beis Hillel has the Shnei Ksuvim. Beis Shammai has the Shnei Ksuvim. So the Gemara says, fine. Hanicha lemanda amar shniksim ban kecharim melamdin, but lemanda amar melamdin ma'ikav neymar. So the Gemara says we have another drasha. Galdi rachmana b'shchutei chutz dam yichashev lo ishahu dam shafach hu velo shlucho. What's the halach of shchutei chutz? So you're going to be liable. It's an issur d'oraisa. But if I send someone else to shecht on my behalf, what's the halacha? Who's liable? Me or him? Who velo shlucho? Right? So the other individual is going to be chayav, right?
The other is...
Not the shlucho.
Not the shlucho.
I think... Isn't it the other way around?
Not the shlucho.
Right.
Mishalei.
The Mishalech is
high. Yeah.
I was saying the same thing. I misunderstood what you were saying, Shmuel. I thought you were saying the opposite. Good. So the Gemara says, Ashkecham gabi shkutei chutz. Bechol ha-Torah minalan. Shall we answer your question? I have to fill you in later. Okay? Okay. Ashkecham gabi shkutei chutz bechol ha-Torah kula bechol ha-Torah minalan. Diyalef mishkutei chutz. So we learn from shkutei chutz. The Gemara says, Diyalef mishkutei chutz nilef mihanach. What's the question? Why don't we learn from the other three, right? From Me'ila, etc. So which is the model? That there is or is not Shlichos for Dvar Avera. So where it says, Hadar Chazar Rachman of Nichras V'Ishahu. Me'inu Inyan Negufo, Tenehu Inyan Nechol HaTorah Kula. So what's the Gemara saying about according to the view of Shnei Ksuv Mabayim Ke'echad?
The who
over
trumps it.
The who trumps it. So just let's speak this out. Go ahead, guys.
Even though you would learn that it does work from those three, since we have those three are invalid, and we follow this one. Okay, not invalid if it don't extend.
Good. So the Gemara, so to summarize what Gemara is saying until this point, the Gemara is saying our goal is to deduce the source that in sholiach lidvar avera. The Gemara says, according to Beis Hillel, if you assume that shnei ksuvim haban keechad in melamdim, according to Beis Hillel, we learn from a combination of mi'ila and shlichus yad. And therefore, in melamdin. According to Beis Shammai, assuming that shnei ksuvim haban keechad in melamdin, we learn from mi'ila and tzvicha u'mechira. And according to the view that shnei ksuvim haban keechad melamdin, so it doesn't work whether according to Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai, we have to come to a separate gzeiras hakasav from shkut yechutz to kol hatorah kula. Those are the three derivations in the Gemara. Okay. And then the Gemara says,
how do we actually learn?
So the Gemara is saying that who is very specific. He velo who velo shlucho. In other words, that there's no shlichos for shchut echutz. That only I, if I myself shech outside the Beis HaMikdash, I'm going to be chayv and not someone else. And then the Gemara says, okay, but why learn from there instead of learning from, let's say, mi'ila and either shchute, either shlichos yad or tzvicha u'mechira? So the Gemara says that there's a...
Learn from them what, though? There's shlichos.
Each one would seem to teach us... The question is, we have essentially three models, three instances with regard to... or data points, if you will, with regard to whether or not they're shliach ledvar avera. By mi'ila, and either shlichos yad, according to Beis Hillel, or tzvicha u'mechira, according to Beis Shammai, we say that there is shlichos ledvar avera. When it comes to shchut eichutz, it's very clear that there is not a shliach ledvar avera. So the Gemara wants to know, that was the Gemara's question, which one should serve as the best model for kol ha'torah kula? Is it that generally in shliach ledvar avera and shchutei chutz is the rule, and mi'ila and the others are the exception, or is it the other way around? The mi'ila and the others, those are the rule, that generally there is a shliach ledvar avera, and the only exception is shchutei chutz because of its unusual gzeras hakasa. That's the Gemara's question, and that's what the Gemara answers and says, Hadar kasav rachmana v'nichras l'ishahu, that person is cut out, so why do we need that additional, that's unnecessary, in the gufo, tenehu inyan l'chol ha-torah kula, and that this is really a model for everywhere. So we learn from shchut eichutz that in kol ha-torah kula, in shliach
ledvar avera. How are we learning in shliach if it's
huvel he's liable, he's chayav, that's what I was saying earlier. Only...
He's only chayav. No,
only a person who does it himself can be chayav. If I send my messenger, then you can't link that back to me.
Oh.
It's teaching us that ein shliach ledvar avera, as opposed to mi'ila and the others, in which there is shlichos ledvar avera. So in some way, we have three possible sources. Right? Okay. Then the Gemara comes along and says, so the Gemara gives a range of different answers as to what we learn from that. Just lost the place. And I don't want to get too stuck up on this. The Gemara goes back and forth in terms of what we do with that additional pasuk. Fine. Skip two lines. Then comes in that line. The Hadatani Ha'omer l'shluchot seharoges ha'nefesh. Right, so this is the hit job. It's the mafioso case. So one guy sends his messenger to go out and to kill someone else, okay? To do the hit. So the halacha is, the Braisa teaches, hu chayav v'sholchav pater. In other words, according to the Tanakhama, who's chayav? The shliach, in shliach ledvar avera. Shammai Azakin omer, lishum chagai hanavi, however you understand that, some ancient tradition, sholchav chayav, that actually, meaning the mishaleach, is chayav. Shem aroso rakta becher bnei amon. Shmuel, I didn't get a chance to think about your question. It's a good one, I'm not sure. But be that as it may, the Gemara is saying, hold on one second, how do you understand Shammai Azakin? What's problematic about Shammai Azakin? Because he's saying that what? That is shliach ledvar avera, at least with regard to ritzicha. We just spend a whole half a, right, a whole more than an, in nearly an amud, right, trying to deduce or prove that Ein Shliach Edvar Avera, all of a sudden comes along Shemir Zaki and says that you Shliach Edvar Avera with regard to Ratzicha. So the Gemara says, "My time is the Shamei Hazakin." So the Gemara first says, "Kasav Shneiksum Bam Keecha Milamdin V'Huahu Lo Darish." In other words, basically he denies the combination of the drashas that we have earlier. The Ibai is Ima Leolam Darish. Really, he does accept that drasha. Umay Chayav, or he's Dorish. Let's say Huahu. Specifically, Umay Chayav Chayvedini Shemayim. So the Gemara says you can't say that. Miklal the Tanakama Savra Afilu Medini Shemayim Nami Pater. How can you say that? I understand you want to say that the guy's technically Pater fine. But if a mafia boss, if a mob boss sends a hitman to go and kill someone, so maybe I'll say that the one who's technically halachically Chayav Misa is going to be the Shaliach, the one who actually pulls the trigger, the one who actually does the job. What are you going to say that according to the Tanakhama, there's no liability whatsoever for the Mishaleah? If I send someone to murder, I bear no responsibility. Klap Ishmael. Are you talking? By the way, when someone says, well, you know, halacha is too technical, and the Gemara's, you know, they talk about too much about the technicalities of halacha, and there's no spirit of the law, and Shalom is Gemara. It's nonsense. Just because you technically get off the hook if you're a mob boss doesn't mean you don't have some meaningful responsibility for it. There's the strict halacha, and then there's some larger, overarching moral code. It almost goes through Lichtenstein's article. That's Lichtenstein's classic article about this topic. Is there an ethic? Have you guys read it? Is there an ethic independent of halacha? It's like Lichtenstein 101. It's a very fundamental article. Have you read it?
Okay,
I urge you to read it and to complete it. It is. Lichtenstein's writing is not so easy. Neither is the Rav. If you're anything from the Rav, you can do this as well. It's difficult in a different way.
He talks about Kierkegaard.
He talks about Kierkegaard. He talks about the Euthyphro problem. He talks about Lifnim Mishuras Hadin. He talks about Derech Eretz. It's a very wide-ranging important article. Is there an ethic independent of halacha? It is right there. I think it's in that volume of Leaves of Faith. It's on that volume. So the other one. It's in the other one, and I'm happy to give you a copy. It's a fantastic article. Anyhow, I think this Gemara, in an implicit way, once you're attuned to this question, is everything just about strict, narrow halachic categories, or is there either a larger spirit of halacha that's broader than the narrow details, and or is there truly an ethic that is fundamentally distinct from halacha, but still Jewishly significant? Either way, this gives you a sense. If you send someone to kill someone else, the Gemara says, lo yitachin, that you're completely off the hook. There's some sort of chiyuv b'dinei shamayim, chiyuv misa, or what have you. You have to be responsible. So Gemara says, even the Tanakhama, obviously, Misvara has to accept that. It can't be that you're totally off the hook. So Gemara says, okay, that's true. El adina rabba v'dina zuta yikibenahu. According to the Tanakhama, it's a dina zuta. According to Shammai Hazaken, it's a dina rabba. It's a much more substantial violation. Finally, the last alternative. It's a special gzeras hakasav. In other words, what? Ritzicha is different than other areas of halacha. In all other areas of halacha, the din is that what? Ein shliach dvar avera. Shammai Hazaken says it's specific to ritzicha based on this gzeras hakasav. And so on and so forth, af uriah hachiti, etc. And then, skipping down just a drop more, the Gemara adds one more halacha, and then we're done with the reading inside. The Gemara says that Beis Shammai or Shammai Hazaken is modeh, now in the first medium sized line, the middle of the line, Be'omer l'shulchot se ba'olas ha'erva, be'acholas ha'chilev. Right, go out and engage in arayos for me, please. And eat chilev. What's the halacha? Okay, yeah, this is a good one. It's one thing to do a hit job, right? You're going to send the guy to go engage in gilei arayos, and who, right? Who's going to be chayav, right? So how's that going to work? You're really going to say the mishaleach is going to be chayav? Where it says, now that's not going to work. Everyone's modeh. By the way, you can't say that if you actually get hana, we can't break the connection between you and the action.
Isn't it interesting,
halacha?
I feel like the svara is off.
Feel like the svara off. Rabbi Sadensky, I'm having a difficult time understanding the svara.
No, I understand the svara. I just think there's an easier svara, which is the same reason that you can't do a shliach le tefillin.
A point or make a point.
You can't appoint the shliach for tefillin.
Ah, so why don't we say it's a mitzvah, it's an Easter begufo, just like a mitzvah begufo. Good, so this becomes actually part of that discussion. It is relevant.
You know, you can say for killing.
Depends on the different Zoros, right? Depends on the Ktos and the Tosis Rid, a different dance that we...
Both of them would have a problem with it. He's not getting any nana from the other guy.
He's not getting any hana from the other guy eating chayla.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's not the same as the fill-in analogy, is it?
Yeah, because you don't get any hana when the other person puts on fill-in. Let me look at the opinions.
You can get hana potentially from someone not for ordering a hit, even though you're not doing it.
No, not Mariga.
Right. The point is, it's.
But it doesn't mean it's about the goof. It's just about you're not even. It's a totally. It's their business. It's not. You're not even related to their.
Yeah, there's no relationship. That was the.
It's a function of tzirof, which kind of we said earlier. By the way, just as an aside, just as a yedia, this is very similar to a halacha of. I want to say it's Rav and Shmuel. With regard to the halacha of Misasek. Everyone knows what Misasek is? Good yiddios moment. Everyone knows what Misasek is?
So when you're doing this, when you're currently engaged in doing something.
So Misasek is when essentially I'm engaged in activity X, and incidentally while I'm doing activity X, result or action Y occurs. So, for example, Misasek on Hilchos Shabbos is when you're right, just bump into the light switch or something like that. That's Misasek. Okay? So, the Gemara says that although there's an exemption of Misasek, HaMisasek B'chalav V'arayos Chayav Shekei Nana. So, Gemara increases in that few tests. That's the Gemara. Misasek b'chalav im v'arayos chayav shekei nana. Meaning, when it comes to the same two categories, chilev and arayos, you're going to be chayav. Because in the end of the day, you're chayav a korban if you b'shoge, because you're deriving benefit. And the point there also is presumably there's a lot of lumdus about this, there's a big discussion, but the bottom line seems to be that the point is that you are ultimately, there is a necessary tseirah between you and the action. If the chisaron, if the lacking of an act of misasek, is that there's no connection between me and the activity because it's so incidental that you can't call it my action because I was doing X and this is just an incidental result that happened to occur at the same time. The point is, that's true as long as I don't derive benefit. But if I achieve a certain degree of hana, so then there's no way to separate this from me because the results remain with me. It's kind of like the Tosus Rids, the way that we read the Rid. Remember how I read the Rid? Right, we said, when do we say that Shlichus does and does not work with regard to a mitzvah sasei? So Xo says, well, because it's filling, it's like, he's putting on the mice, he's doing the mice, he's doing the mice on the wrong goof. Right? When I send Meir to put on tefillin, so it's my mice of putting tefillin on Meir, not on me. Because you can transfer a mice, but you can't transfer identity. That's the sort of success. How do we read the Rid? What?
You're not connected.
Right. That's why he started saying that, well, it depends. In the case of Kidu, right, he said in Gerushin, where you have a star, so obviously there's a connection, and his name is written in the star. And he said, and even Kiddushin, there's still something linking back to you, because there's some, deriving some hana, etc. So he said it's all about tzeruf. Is there something that connects the Mishalech back to the action somehow in this process, or as a result of this process? So it's a similar kind of story to this idea of tzeruf.
It's just like assumes or believes that the Maisa can automatically be.
It sounds like it, that's correct. Yeah, it's more far-ranging on the Maisa, and it's just the status beguf that cannot be transferred by way of shlichus, kind of like a mili or something along those lines. Okay, so that's a long sugya, and it's a complicated sugya, so yasher kof, that we reviewed it. And now the fundamental question that we alluded to when we went to the Seder is what is the basis for Ein Shalech Dvarver? Here's where I want to start turning from the reading to some of the lundus, but here the lundus really does, in a way, emerge organically from our sugya, because there is a basic conflict here. Because we kind of glossed over it, but in the end of the day, what is the basis for the din of Ein Shalech Dvar Avera? When you first read the Gemara, it sounds like it's based on a Svara, and the Svara is Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomet. And then even the way that we spoke about the language of the continuation of the Gemara then had three ways of explaining why it is that Ni'ila and other instances are unique in that they are averos that are subject to shlichos. But that is a general principle. There is no shlichos lidvar avera. And again, we said, according to Beis Hillel, it's shnik subim, it's a combination of mi'ila and shlichos. Yeah, according to Beis Shammai, it's a combination of mi'ila and tichil mechira. If you hold that shnik subim haban ke'achad belam, then it's based on a gzeras akaso from shkut echotz. And then, okay, we have the exceptional halacha with regard to Beis Shammai. Maybe the nice the halacha altogether, but Pashto says, right, and there's big holes at Yish Lechem Barbaros, the first day of the Gemara, or the latter 2 days of the Gemara, the Gorot Hashem Yazakin, is that, are that he holds that really, as at least a general matter, that he agrees fundamentally that Yish Lechem Barbaros, fine. But once we accept the principle that Yish that Lechem Barbaros, whether according to Hashem Yazakin or according to the Tanakhama, and the whole thrust of the rest of the Sugya, question is, what's the basis for it? Is it based on Svar? Is it based on Xerus Akasa? Well, it's a basic tension in our Sukkah.
Well, the Sukkim, according to, as long as you hold the whole Shank Truman, the Sukkim are all just, right, just to try and disprove it, this Svar.
Very good. So there's a tension there, too. That really hits on an excellent shine. On the one hand, the reason, the motivation for the Gemara introducing all of these limudim is because, well, don't we have a problem from Mi'ila? What are you going to do about Mi'ila? Right? And the Gemara is just trying to answer that. But the truth is that the rule of Shneksum Haban Ke'achad in Melamdin teaches us both sides of the rule. If you hold the Shneksum Haban Ke'achad in Melamdin, what that generally does is it says these two halachos are unlike the rest of halacha. Right? So that could be a source in its own right. On the other hand, you might say that no, that might have been possible, but really what's happening is really the basis is Divrei Harav, Divrei Talmud, and Divrei Mishomet. And if we want to know why it is that we don't extend that to Me'ila and some of these other exceptions, the answer is we have the pasuk. Maybe the pasuk should overwhelm the Svara. The answer is Shneksuvah Gachani Melantin, but the Svara remains the fundamental basis for this halacha. And indeed, if you take a look at the Rishonim, there's a clear-cut machlokas, in the Achronim as well, there's a clear-cut dispute in the end of the day, is the basis of Harav, or is the basis Sukkim? And maybe it depends on different days of the Gemara, etc. What is more, is that this machlokas, or this question as to whether the basis is Divrei Harav or Svara, might even be manifest in some of the Rishonim. So, for example, and we're going to see more of this as we go, but take a look even on this sheet, what I gave you at the top, just as an example. The Rif here, Vilidvara Vera, design based without the Rif, source 1 year's fire sheet, Vara Vera, Eno Mishra Kloso, De Carmelan Yeshechad Vara Vera, De Amrina, De Vera Vera, Tavan De Vera Shonen, sounds like the Rif accepts that fundamentally the basis for this halacha is the Svara. Right? Tosos in Bava Metzia, on the other hand, the Rasling Sheikh of Arvera, that's when he's in Bava Metzia, one of the other relevant sugyos, he seems to hold it differently. Beferakesh Mekadish says Tosos, Ego the Alf Mishkute Chutz, Tichsiv, Hu Velo Shlucho, Ego the Alf Mishkut Nahalim Yilut Vichashim Suma Gechad, the Yish Shaliach, the In Milande. So, from Tosos's presentation, it sounds like at least that Tosos in Bava Metzia seems to be saying that really the basis is the Psukim. So the question of whether it's based on Svara Psukim itself, while there's not a clear-cut machlokas shown that's quite that direct, there do seem to be different presentations in the Rishonim that would seem to side with the two explanations that we've given. Remeir Shalita.
If you say that it's Svara, then you'd have to say that the limud from Shkut Echutz is just to
explain why we don't overwhelm the Svara based on the model of the exceptional cases.
It's
like a backup.
Why don't we say?
Because we only need Shkodichos if you say Shneiso Abam Ke'achad Malamdin.
Good.
So that Lima is just to balance. Because with Shneiso Abam Ke'achad Malamdin, we would say right. We extend it, but because
that's what I was alluding to when I said that it might be dependent on different deaths in the Gemara. In other words, what I might say is that if it's Shkodichos, then that's really the source. Whereas if I go with the Beisal Beisham, the combination might be the same, might be the Islay, it might really be going back to the Bnei Harav. That's what I was referring to there. So it's possible he Gufa is telling the different deaths on the matter.
Tosos just says, according to the Ein Melamdin camp, so it's just those.
Sounds like it. That's what it sounds like from Tosos.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this might not only be relevant to the question of the Makor. Remember, we learned earlier that there are a couple of key questions we want to learn in Nisugya. We want to ask about the Makor, the source for the halacha. We want to ask about the Ofi, the nature of the halacha. We want to ask about the Hekiyot, the scope. Okay? So these are. This was one of Rav Lichtenstein's go-tos all the time that I learned from my own Rebbeim. Rabbi Targum used to emphasize this as well, but really Rav Aron was more explicit, I think, in really emphasizing this tripartite approach to learning. Not that this is the only Derech HaLimud, or that this even encompasses even a huge percentage of Rav Lichtenstein's own approach, but it is a really important structural element there. So number one, the Makor of the Halacha, the source. Sometimes we would add the Ramah, the level. Here it's not going to be so pertinent. The Ulfi is the nature, and the Hekev is the scope. So we're going to look at these. So far we talked about the Makor. That was the question. It's Faros, Exeris, Akasav, etc. In turn, very often, each one of these has a causative impact on the next one. Right? The Makor can affect the Ulfi, and the Ulfi can affect the Hekev. Meaning, the nature of this halacha might be dependent upon its source. How so here? Because one needs to inquire, what is the nature of the exclusion of Ein Shliach HaDvar Aveira? On its face, the simple shot is that it is an absolute strict rule. Very simply, with regard to violations of Aveira, the parsha of Shlichas doesn't exist. There is no din of Shlichas. That's probably the simple reading. Ein Shliach HaDvar Aveira, there's no such thing. However, there's another school of thought in the Rishonim. That might not be the most obvious interpretation based on the Gemaras as a whole, this our Gemara as a whole, but might be consistent with Divrei Rav, Divrei HaTalmud, that's Svara. Here, an alternative possibility is that no, that maybe fundamentally the Parsha of Shlichos does apply. And Ein Shliach LeDvar Avera merely means that as a general matter, there is no Shlichos for Dvar Avera, because it is assumed that either the Meshaleach or the Shaliach does not have intention to enter into the partnership, as it were, quote unquote, of from the institution, the agreements of Ein Shliach LeDvar Avera. So is it fundamentally a hafga'a, an exclusion, the category doesn't exist, or really does exist, but the point is that as a general matter, one or both of the parties did not want to enter into this arrangement. Now the only reason, based on our sugya, to say anything reminiscent of the latter, that fundamentally shlichus does apply, because it sounds like it really doesn't apply. The whole discussion, the ilan shlichus, yeah, it sounds like it's just mufka, just doesn't exist. But if you take this sort of the Vayera of the Ritamit quite literally and seriously, it's almost as if we're talking to the Shliach or to the parties, yeah. Right? And we're saying, hello, right? You've got the Mishaleach telling you to be the hitman, or that might be an exception, telling you to violate the Avera, and what are you going to do? I mean, where are your priorities? Well, the answer is, just as in Halacha, we give individuals the Bechira Chafshis. There's free will. You have the right. God can tell you. The Chazal can tell you. This is an Avera. Now I'm going to do this. At the end of the day, it's given to you to decide whether or not you want to violate the Avera. So that's the same thing here. Right? You can say similarly that what? That maybe, Mr. Shaliach, you shouldn't have agreed to this. Hello, what are your basic values? Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomen. If you take it quite literally, then you might say that really it's a din in the umdana of the Shaliach, rather than being a complete hafgah of the parsha of Shlichos from Divrei Avera. You see? Now, you can also start to see, or have already started to see, hopefully, that the Makor can easily impact the Ofi. If I hold, like Tosos and Balmatsia seems to say, that in the end of the day, this is based on Xeris HaKasa, that's the Makor. So if that's the Makor, then it sounds like Afka. What we're saying is, with regard to the Rebbe, there's no partial Shlichos. It's the beginning and the end. It's over. Something else to talk about. But if you hold it's the Svar Divrei HaRav, at least it's plausible to think that it's just an Omdana, but that fundamentally the partial Shlichos does exist. Now, it's not Mukhrach. Because how else? Meaning, it's not Mukhrach that if you think it's learned from Svara, that means it's an Omdana. Who can formulate the opposite possibility? That even if we hold that the basis, that the makor for Inshlech and Dvar Avera is Divrei Harav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomen, that still there's a hafka of shlichos in this category altogether. What do you guys think?
it like it would have like the oath is like that it once the shliach does the avera, he's violating the higher power, and therefore like the shliach is nullified.
Here's an alternative.
Let me think of this. Maybe the point is as follows. God wants us, this kind of undermines what I just said about the Chavshis, but God desires for us to do mitzvahs, right? God desires for us not to do others. Isn't that a legitimate starting point? Okay. Once that's the case, so I can say like this, the Torah gave us this institution of shlichus. Was it obvious that there's an institution of shlichus? Prove to me that the institution part of shlichus is not obvious.
You need to be learned.
This is where it's all connected. The sugyas are connected.
You need to be learned.
Right? How, where is it learned from?
Kiddushin.
Okay? Kiddushin, and then the Gemara added. Kiddushin, and then the Gemara added. Truma, and then the Gemara added.
Kodeshim.
And then we asked, how do we know other categories? Right? It's not so obvious in the Gemara, and there's some discussion about that, but it's a class. It's not. It's smart. Maybe when the Torah was mechadesh the parsha of shlichos, it did so to benefit us, or in areas that are consistent with God's desire, and not in areas that are inconsistent with God's desire. Is it possible? Divrei Harav, Divrei Atam, Divrei Mishumen is telling us something logical about the inner limitations of the entire parsha of shlichos. Divrei Harav, Divrei Atam, Divrei Mishumen, therefore not. You probably didn't accept this assignment, but rather, therefore the institution doesn't make any sense here. Why would God create the chiddush of the parsha of shlichus only to have a sin? It makes no sense. Another way of formulating this is to say that there is a chakir, an additional chakir as to whether Dibri Harav, Dibri Atam, and Dibri Mishovim is a siba or a siman. Okay? Stands for Zer Sakasa. Okay? So in other words, you have it here on the chart. What's the Ofi? If it's a Gzeres HaKasa, if it's a Hafga'a. What's a Hafga'a? A complete exclusion. Hopefully you guys can see what I'm doing here. Meaning. Okay? Is anyone on to me yet? Shine, show. Are you guys on to me yet? See what I'm saying?
Not totally.
Okay? Here's what I'm saying. Divrei Harav. One explanation is that it's a siba, it's a cause. What does it mean to be a cause?
That's why it's
in Shlech HaDvar HaAveira. Because Divrei Harav, Divrei Tam, Divrei Mishomen, therefore there's no Shlech HaDvar HaAveira. As opposed to it being... Right. In other words, it's not that this vara is the direct cause of Einshlech HaDvar HaAveira, right? And if it's a known to know, then you're saying, like, why did you listen? You should opt out. Right? But if you say that the point is, no, it's symbolic or representative of larger, Sibah and Siman are not 100%, but it's something in that direction, then the point is that it's not just, well, because you shouldn't have listened to this, you shouldn't have accepted this assignment of Shlichos, therefore, presumably doesn't work in this case, but rather, the point is that Divrei Harav, Divrei HaTalmud, is indicative of the larger principle that really Shlichos makes no sense here, and therefore is not God. Okay, so what we've seen is not that there's a one-to-one relationship between the Makor and the Ofer. What we have seen is that this is what we call a one-way nafkamina. So it's not a full-fledged nafkamina. It's a nafkamina in the lumdos, right? It's a nafkamina with a ramification, not practically. That's what we're going to come to in the scope, the hekev question. But the nafkamina is one direction. Meaning, if it's a gzeres kasa, presumably the point is it's a hafkas, it's complete exclusion. Whereas if I hold the zivirat, the real talmud, And that's really the makor for the halacha of Yin Shech and Barbera. Then depending on how you understand the role of Stivir Abdi Rizam and Devir Mishomim, we can come to one conclusion or the other. Okay? So that's why it's mukhar on one side of the chakira but on the other. Okay. If you take a look at the Mefarshim are split on this question of the Of of the Ofi, and then the next step is going to become the Nafkamina, so that if. Right? So for example, we don't have time to read everything, but I want to expose you to a couple of radical ideas, or very interesting shittos. Here's really the radical one. The radical one is the sheet of the Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah appears in source 3 under source sheet. Sanhedrin Chof Tesam Alf. Remember the background from the Gemara?
And Yad Ramah was...
We're limited in time. We're not going to read the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Probably don't have time to read the Gemara in Matzia, but... Who was the Yad Ramah? You want to know who he was? A little Jewish history?
Not the Ramah.
He was not the Ramah. He was the Ramah. We mentioned him, Shmuel, on our Jewish history crash course very briefly about the Maimonidean controversy.
But
he was the one who thought that the Ramah... What did he accuse the Ramah of? Heretic. For having denied... There you go. The Rambam wrote the letter of the Igeret Tzchiyat HaMitim in response to the accusation of the Ramah that the Rambam was a heretic. Just to take a step back,
he was a Rishon.
The Ramah was Rav Meir Halevi of Lafia. He lived in, I want to say, Barcelona? Or maybe Castile? What does it say over there? Google it. Yeah, it's a Spanish Rishon, you'll find it quickly enough. Anyhow,
I was looking for my Jewish.
Oh, no, just look it up on the video, what have you. The Ramah, Rabbi Levi Abulafia, was one of the great Rishonim. He was skeptical about philosophy in general, and therefore of the Rambam. He was living in Christian rather than Muslim Spain, because at this time it was the beginning of the point of transition between Muslim Spain and Christian Spain. He is a great Rishon who writes in a number of sections of the Gemara, and we have extant his commentary on only a few Masechtos, the most prominent and classically learned of which is his commentaries of Sanhedrin. And the reason that he also actually has one on Kiddushin. Kiddushin's not learned as much because you have the Ramban and the Rashba, and the Ritva, and all the classic Rishon. Sanhedrin is much less. So there is no Ramban, Rashba, Ritva, and Sanhedrin because the majority of Sanhedrin is not practical nowadays since they didn't have a full-fledged Sanhedrin during that time, so therefore many of the Rishon didn't write on it. So the Yad Ramah, one of the few Rishon who did write on Sanhedrin, was accepted as particularly central. When you learn Masechta Sanhedrin, it's very learned. Beyond Yeshiva, you're going to learn the Ramah. It's a classic Pirush on Sanhedrin.
He lived in Toledo.
Toledo, thank you. That's incorrect. Yes. Thank you. Anyhow, that's the Ramah. So the Ramah is evidently wearing Sanhedrin Alf Bades and Alf. This is the Gemara about Inton and the Mesis. This is the Gemara about the individual who incites others to violate idolatry. And the halacha is that we have no mercy. Pasuk says in Parashat Elo Sachmo Velo Sechase Alav. And Chazal understand that as indicating that whereas generally speaking, in order to convict someone to a Chiyuv Misa, we are required to go out of our way to find any reason whatsoever to exonerate that individual, whereas when it comes to a mesis, we're a little bit quicker to convict this individual and actually implement capital punishment. Halacha of the mesis. So, here, the Gemara in that context, the first of the Nachash HaKadmoni in Gan Eden is the first mesis, which is very interesting because it's not a Rezara. What does Kaaba do? So it seems to be indicative of the fact that Mesis is not just about Avodah Zarah narrowly, it's about rebellion against God. And if God gave you only one halacha, essentially, to keep, and that one halacha you violate, one of the only halachas that you're given, that's an outright betrayal, rejection of God's words. It's a fundamental act of hasasa, even though it's not technically Avodah Zarah. Be that as it may, in that context, the Gemara invokes the concept of Divrei Harav, Divrei HaTalmud, Divrei Mishomim. So the Ramah commenting on this Gemara and this the relationship between the Nachash and Chava says as follows, source 3. Ushmamina, check this. Dehodekhaim alanal, that which we hold in general, the Ein Shliach Varaber, despite the fact that the Gemara merely cites the same logical structure and same statement of Divrei Rav Dera Tava Divrei Shomen, but it's not talking about Inshef of Arbeira at all. Nonetheless, the Rama says we learn from this sugya that at which we say Inshef of Arbeira in general, Davka, Hechin, Hecha, Ditoin Mishaleach, Divrei Harav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomen. Hecha Dolo Toin Mechayet. What does that mean?
I'm not sure why it's the Mishaleach who's being telling.
Let's explain what he's saying before you ask questions, isn't it?
He's saying the principle of Inshef Torah Vera only applies where the Mishaleach is, like, so to speak, like, claiming or putting forth this argument, Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomen, where he doesn't, he's not telling this, it works.
Okay, so let's give an example. Okay, Shmuel. He sends them to Nadira. Pass the shalom. You do. Okay, we're all in shalom and upper. Okay. So you send someone to do tremendous tshuva, and it ultimately becomes the source of inspiration later on. But okay, so we made a mistake, we send someone to violate an avera. So the Rama says that Shmuel, when you send someone to violate that avera, the only case where we say Inshef Ibn Averis asserts the Rama is where later on you come along and say, hold on, you can't hold me responsible after all. Divrei Harav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomen. He shouldn't have listened to me. It's not my problem and my fault. To whom should he have listened? But if you don't make that claim, you're fine. Inshef Ibn Averis requires a taina. Like in Shavuos. In next month in Goshen, learning Shavuos. Shavuos, yes, right? You take a Shavua if there's a taina. Basin doesn't require me to just take a Shavua in court. Someone, my interlocutor, my adversary, needs to come forward and issue a claim against him. Needs to sue me in court. Then and only then are Basin perhaps, under certain circumstances, going to be Mechayev via Shavua. There needs to be a taina. Amodeh b'mitzas ha-taina. Someone claims that I owe them $100, and amodeh b'mitzas ha-taina. I say, I owe you $50.
I feel like every principle in Jewish legal theory says that you would not have to do that.
That's almost what the Rama asks in himself. He says, you know, this is really strange. He says, he doesn't quite say it that way, but he says, you know, this could have been the right answer to any number of stages in the Gemara about Inshef and Varavera. Like, left and right. The Gemara said, well, that case is different because he didn't make a taina. Right, the Gemara could have said this by Tzvicha Mechira and by Shlichus Yad and by Me'ila and by Ritzicha and Cherev and Amon and all these cases. So he says, I don't understand myself. The casually. He says, I don't make any sense. The Gemara always says, why not? Baal Inshef and Varavera. Velo kamishani, why doesn't the Gemara simply answer, hacha b'mayaskinon delo toyin? Right? He didn't say anything. The Mishaleach didn't complain, didn't issue an objection. The Alma, lo shnahachi velo shnahachi, lo mechayir Mishaleach. Either way, even if Shmuel does not make his taina, still the principle of Inshef and Varavera should hold and the Shaleach should be chayir, not the Mishaleach, not Shmuel, vitzarech ion. He says, you know, taka. This is a good catch on myself. Okay, so he leaves it at Tzarech Ion. He's not sure whether or not he's right. But this concept, this suggestion, makes sense what? This is already Heker.
But it's not
an
Ion.
What? Well, it's not quite. And you can call an Under or not call an Under. But the point is...
It's even less than
that. Well, but the point is... Right, but it's fundamental. This is an extreme formulation of the Umden idea, right?
Yes.
You can hold Vomdana without coming onto the requirements of a taina. But you can only make their issue there. It's like the one way not to be
that's
the
thing.
Good. So don't call it Vomdana, call it a taina. But the point is, conceptually, the key point is, it's not a hafgah. Fundamentally, the parsha of Shlichus applies to Divrei Avera. It is only that in certain circumstances, the Mishaleach has the right to claim that the Shaliach really didn't accept the responsibility or shouldn't have accepted the responsibility.
How can you say that? Because, say, I tell you to do something, and then after you do it, you're like, well, you shouldn't have listened to me. Like, that's...
It might be unethical. It might be your machayev b'dinei shamayim. Maybe it's Dina Zuta, maybe it's Dina Rabba. We're not saying it's ethical, we're not saying it's right, but the question is whether or not the shlichus is effective here in a legal sense, and there, maybe it's a legitimate tanya. Maybe not. The Ramah's not sure.
I just don't see the basis.
Good. My goal is not to convince you. Well, the logical basis is different here, different at Talmud.
Yeah, but what logical... What
he's getting it from the Gemara and Sanhedrin. That's really what's motivated.
I understand, but I'm saying, what's his point?
Make a claim?
He made a claim that... Meaning,
claims that generally, like, change...
I see what you're saying. You're saying, Mamashah, if it's a good svar, it's a good svar. If it's not a good svar, it's not a good svar.
I'm saying, I tell you to do something. I have, you know... If that's shlichus, then it's shlichus, and if it's not, then it's not. And what I say later on
shouldn't have no bearing.
No bearing on it.
Right. Unless the fact that you made the claim itself is
retroactively.
Retroactive. No, is a small amount of evidence that sways the case. But you're saying, of course, you're going to say that, just like the other guy is going to say the opposite.
Right. I'm saying either it was or it wasn't. Like, and if even if you can say retroactively, what you could do is going back, changing the nature of the shlichus. But that's not even what he's saying.
I hear you. No worries. Rav Rishon disagree, and he himself is not convinced. But either way, I just want to move on because we're late. Tehran Tamar Shia, some other stuff. You can see that this is an extreme formulation of the fundamentally there is a parasha of shlichos, except you can make a taina category. There are other instances of this. There is actually Ishita number 4. We don't have time to get into the whole sugya about Bar Chiyuva and all of that. But Bar Chiyuva versus Bar Das, right? But it actually is highly. If we had more time, I'd show you. We go through that sugya more carefully because that sugya also might well bear on the question of Hara versus Gzeres Hakasav. Why those are exceptions is very relevant, right? Is Bar Chiyuva an exception because the point is that the whole din doesn't apply, the hafkah doesn't apply, or maybe the point is that no, it goes to the umdina issues. Right. In other words, right, or you're even a bardas. Right? Is it about the ability to transfer responsibility to someone else, or is it about whether or not the person actually accepted responsibility? So that it's very relevant to discussion, but we just don't have time to get into it. But based on that, so the Shita Mikubet says actually does not go so far to say it's a taina, but says that basically it is. He essentially says it's an imzna. He says. If you take a look in source 4, this is the Sheet of Megabatzes and Bam Seyed Afidum Bez in the name of the Tosos Shans. So the Tosos son says that in line 5 on the way down, the beginning of that Shmakor, Uksha Shaliach Kohen, Savar HaMeshaleach Shelo Yishma Lo HaShaliach LeKadesh. Okay, the Amar B'Kiddushin Diver Herav V'Chulo. I'm picking it out of context, but you see even from that language, right? What's he saying? He's saying it's not a taina, but it's an umdina in terms of the assumption of the mishaleach. He's saying that when the shaliach is a kohen, in or under certain circumstances, if the shaliach himself is a kohen, is a bar chiyuva, that shifts around the umdinos. Because if you yourself are mechuyav on the isser of a grusha, so then presumably you're going to be more attuned to this, and you will not have accepted the responsibility. Savar hamishaleh shaliyishma lo hashaliach lekadesh. Right? Kedah amar b'kiddushin divrei harav v'chula. So again, he's using divrei harav. You see two things. Number one, he assumes divrei harav divrei talmud is operative l'halacha l'maisa. It is a relevant category, which means it was not completely rejected based on the Gzeres HaKasav, number one. And number two, this idea of Umdana. The other major shita that holds of this is the Sna. Sna is one of the great Achronim of Shulchan Aruch, and this is his discussion in Hilchos Shlichos. So Shulchan Aruch brings the halacha of Shlichos in Choshe Mishpa Kuf Pei Beis Beis. That's where it appears. Kuf Pei Beis is the beginning of Hilchos Shlichos. Hilchos Shlichos runs in Choshe Mishpa from 182 to 188. Kuf Pibet to Kuf Pechet. Those are the simanim of Shlichos in Choshe Mishpa. In the beginning, the Mechaber, Shulchan Aruch, Rizkaru, brings the halacha of Ein Shechet Varavera. So the Sma writes, Chutz Milid Varavera, De Divrei Harav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Meshomen. He holds like Tosos, or he holds like the Rif. Nice. The Yachol Hamishaleach Lomar Savarti Shelo Yoshma Lila Soso Lechach Ina Mishaleach Hayav. Aval Mina Shaleach Bar Chiyuv Alo Shaleach Haytayma. Meaning he too understands the Dinah Bar Chiyuv and the Gemara Bava Metzia as proving that A, it's based on Divrei Harav, and B, it's Divrei Harav is what we call the Siba or the Umdina version of Divrei Harav and not the. And not the Hafka'ah version. And again, these are all nafgaminos, according, right, possibly, depending on how you understand it. Right? The halacha of Bar Chiyuva might be a nafgamino. The halacha of Taina is an extreme kind of nafgamino. There's already two potential nafgaminos. The Ritva disagrees. Take a look in source 6. This is the Ritva here in Sugya. Shani Hasam, the Ein Shaliach, the Dvar Vera, Damino, Divra Av, Divra Tama, Divra Shomim, Perush. Taima ka'am rinan shu kain al harov. Mihu dina de oraisa hu kidil kaman. Va'afilu hecha de lese lahai taima kigon shu shogig vechayotze baza. Read those words again. Very important. Perush, you guys read, don't type for a second, read with me inside, end of that first line. Perush, taima ka'am rinan shu kain al harov. Says the Ritva.
You follow the Rav.
Taima kamrinan. This is we're giving the reasoning. Shehu kein that this is the case.
Most people.
In most scenarios, meaning what?
The halachic Rav. People wouldn't.
What's the Rav? The Rav in Rav scenarios of shlichos lidvar avera.
The person's not going to listen to you.
Right. Because but he says the scope of the halacha of. Is not dependent on that. That's just the majority. Meaning what? When he says dina d'oraisa, he doesn't mean that it's versus d'rabbanan. What does he mean as opposed to what? When he says dina d'oraisa, he means a word up here. Which of the words does he mean? Right, he's saying it's not a svara, it's a zer sakasa. Or it's not an umdana, it's a hafka. And therefore, he says it applies even in a case like shogeg. What's the nafgamina? Shogeg is the key nafgamina we're going to see elaborate a little bit more, hopefully before the end of shir. Meaning what? Let's say it's a case of shogeg where you don't know the mishalech and the shaleach. Let's say don't know that this is an avera. It's unintentional. They didn't realize it's an avera. I should have known, but I didn't. Both of them, let's assume mishalech and the shaleach. What's the halacha? If you hold, again, you can see a whole slew of nafkaminos, right? Shogeg is just the beginning, tip of the iceberg. Ones, right? What happens if you have a mumar, someone who doesn't care at all about the halacha, either the mashayach or the shleach or both, these are all nafkaminos. If you hold it's a hafka, if you hold this exact sakasa, or even if it's based on the virah, but it ultimately becomes a hafka, so then it doesn't matter who thought what, where, why, when, if I care about halacha, I don't care about halacha, I knew it was an avira, I didn't know it was an avira, I chose to do this action, I did it at gunpoint, doesn't matter. Point is, the din of shlichos, the parsha of shlichos, was not stated with regard to divrei avira. The gzeros hakasav that we derive from gerushin, kiddushin, truma, and kachim simply don't apply to divrei avera. That's what the ritva holds. And by the way, the ritva makes this move. He holds that it's divrei harav. Right? Divrei harav is somewhat meaningful, but divrei harav is just al harov, meaning maybe it's a siman. It's reflective of the fact that, more generally speaking, the parsha of Shlichos was not said here. Or it's Lav Dafka, or maybe he's just saying, it's just a saying.
It's like an observation about most people's psychological.
But then so what? And then the point is, but that could just be a simon. Or he's saying, like, whatever, it's just Divrei Rav, Divrei Tam, but really the Magor is later on.
The question is, why is it put it first? Or why is it the first thing the Gemara goes to?
Right. Okay, it's maybe a svara for the Gezer Sakasav. You could say that, and something more like that. But it's possible that that's a separate sugya. That's time of the Quran, all that. So the Ritva, as opposed to the Rama and the Tosos Shans and the Sma, who are the great champions of the Umdana approach, the Rigva is the major Rishon who pushes back and says, no, it's just al haro, but really it's a din, and then Afkamina is for the case of Shohe. There are a number of Achronim who adopt this view, this alternative perspective. The Pnei Yehoshua and Rabbi Akiva Eger, two of the most important Achronim in general, when we learn Lamdas, they also hold of this view. So the Pnei Yehoshua, that's Xeris HaKasa, that's Afka. So Pnei Yehoshua, for example, says, V'hnir alani yastayti, d'hadar mirin d'yir shechet v'arveyam, shen d'yir v'arav d'yir v'talmin v'chulo, lav misvara amrinan hachi, umitayma d'savar shelo yishma. It's not because of just a svara. It's not just because Shmuel thought that the Sholiach wouldn't listen. And he brings a raya from the Gemara Bava Kama, and he says that we see that it's really a hafkah. Take a look, he quotes the Ritva, and toward the end of the fifth line, b'chein kaza b'chidushi haritva, that it's a real din, v'ata mira, another Ritva above the sea as well, it says the same thing, where the Ritva says the same thing. He says, V'ata Mira, fourth line from the bottom of Ne'oshua, after the period, V'chevan v'liyafinon shlichus b'chol ha-Torah, ela mi-gerushin u'chuma v'kadshim. He conflates gerushin and kiddushin, which we had a discussion about a little bit earlier. Les l'nirvuye ela dumya d'hanach d'les b'hu aveira.
The thing that you were saying before, Siman brings Siva.
Right, that it's, and that it goes back to what the.
There are no Sibasa. No Simasa.
It's.
Is it even.
Well, it might even just be Xeris HaKasav, yeah. I think. I think it's even more extreme than that. He's saying it's Xeris HaKasav. The point is, Divrei HaRav is just a Sfar Ba'alma that's Megala, that reveals. That really comes from Xeris HaKasav. And the Xeris HaKasav point is that the entire, it's what we said, that the entire institution of Shlichos is limited to categories that are similar to the bases from which we learn the Parsha of Shlichos, which are mitzvos, not averos. Very simple, he says. And therefore, it doesn't apply. All of those don't have dvar avera. Mashinkin hecha, that's ikat sa avera, it's not similar to those. And the whole Parsha doesn't approach. Doesn't apply, is inapplicable. That's a great vort from the Pnei Yehoshua. That's how he says it. And then if you take a look at Rabbi Akiva Eger, he's very upset about this sheet of the Sma. Very unhappy. So he says, Amar Avina, Hecha Amina, and this is in his commentary to Bava Metzia, the Gemara. He quotes the Sma and he says, it's all wrong. He says, the Gemara says, Amar Avina, Hecha Amina, Inshech Lidvar Vera. Right? If you ever see Ashalda, Ishelda, Ishel da, that's in Shlechet Varavera. So now you know the Rashi Thibos. It's confusing if you haven't seen it before. Like, you wouldn't immediately come to that one, but that's what it stands for. Ishel da. Hecha d'havi yechiva v'cholos, yikos t'alachat v'archiyuva, u'mizen yor v'yisrael mumr lahaches, he says, mikol makom afo v'shechata yisrael v'shaykh v'divir herav v'chula. He says, even in a case of Momer Lahaches, it sounds from the Gemara like the din would apply. Again, the same. We don't have time to go through to tease it out based on the Gemara and see it, but it's conception. See, it's all the same thing. He says, Acher kachor isi lahasman ksim kuf pebez lahasvara de inshachad varvera shiyomer shesover delo yishmali ayinshan. Says it's based on umdina. It's not really a hafka. Fiza. And Yisrael Mumar would be the same thing. Shmuel, if you sent a Mumar to do an Avera, then your Taina later on, or the Umdana, wouldn't make any sense. Right? You can't say, well, I mean, I didn't think he'd take me seriously. What do you mean? The guy drives around the streets in Lower Merion, smoking on Shabbos every single week, right? And you're going to tell me, right? And he's got a cigarette in one hand, and he's got a razor in the other. Okay, so this way he's shaving on Shabbos with the razor, right? He's violating as many averos at the same time as he can, as he's got his feet in the wheel and he's somehow getting the car to go, all right? This guy, the Yisrael Mumar, Lahach is the whole 9 yards. And you're going to come and you're going to say, oh, I didn't expect him to listen to me. After all, he's a pintaliyid. Well, he's a pintaliyid. He violates Shabbos all the time. So you can't say it. So the Sma says that's an afkamina. It's an umdana. So Ricky Vager says nonsense. It's irrelevant. It's a hadin. It's not a svara. And he derives that based on the Gemara in Bava Metzia. So in summary, what we've seen is that there's a fundamental dispute that starts with the Makar and the Machos in the Rif and Tosos, goes to the Ofei HaChisaron, the Umdana, surprising Umdana camp, led by the extreme of the Yad Rama. If you don't want to go to that extreme, you have the Tosos Shans and you have the Sma. And then the pushback from the others, Rishonim and Achronim, alike. The Ritva, who thinks that really it's just a svar of alma, but it's just hukein alaro, but it's a din d'oraisa. Pnei Yehoshua is the most explicit xeris hakasim person. Arkiv Eger pushing back against the sma among the achronim and saying that the nafgamina of the Yisrael mumar. And you can begin, although we haven't lined them up systematically with regard to the hekit, you can start to see that there's a whole slew of nafgaminos here. And they're all pretty much cut from the same cloth. I mean, you have the taina question, and then you have all the cases when you can't claim that lo yishmal. Right? Where in lo yishmalo doesn't apply. I'm writing EFSHAR with its own lo yishmalo. Right? And that applies to a whole slew of cases. Where it's a case of shogeg, where it's a case of ones, where it's a case of bar chiyuva, where it's a case of, right? Where it's a case of.
What does it mean by bar chiyuva?
Comes out in a second. Running on 10.
Yeah.
What's the last one?
Excellent.
I know. What's the last one here?
Mumar.
Thank you. Okay. Now, okay, we don't have time, but I just want to point out, so these are all the nafkaminos. I just wanted to note, there's a Tosos. The Ritva and Tosos are disagreeing about the case of Shogeg, because that's based on our sukya. Just to point out, Mi'ila, you guys should know it's a good yudia. Mi'ila, in halacha, you're only chayer from Mi'ila, ironically, b'shogeg. You guys know that? The din of Mi'ila, meaning if I steal from Hekdesh, it's a good idea before the bell rings, guys. Okay, if you run. The halacha of Mi'ila is as follows. If I steal from Hekdesh, I only have to add, pay a chomesh to the Beis HaMikdash, and man, I have to run. And I'm only going to be chayev korban. If guys, that is, just give me a second. Only be chayav korban in the case of shogeg. The whole din of mi'ila, typically in the Torah and halacha, is in the case of shogeg. So if that's the case, then our whole sugya of mi'ila is talking about a case of shogeg. So Tosos asks, he says, wait a second. If it's shogeg, divrei Rav Tamid doesn't apply. Because you can't claim, well, I didn't know. I didn't think he'd listen to me. See, it's built into our sugya. So Tosos says, I don't understand. So Tosos comes with the whole scenario. One of them knew, one of them was shogeg, the other one was mazid. In other words, Tosos takes the svara, right? It's consistent with the Tosos shans, right? It's an umdana kind of attitude. That's where the Ritva came in and says, no, you don't have to come on to all these fancy footwork Tosos. Shogeg, it's a shogeg mazid, right? Mumar, ones, ratza, oh, it doesn't matter. It's a din. It's a halacha. Says, but it's a din, right? So that's where it comes out of our sugya as well. That's the clearest cut case in our sugya of the Nafkamina. There is much more to say, but hopefully this gives you a really rich texture and perspective on the sugya. I will see you tomorrow.